Contemporary Music Centre Composer of the Month interview for November 2007, Simon Mulwinney. In part two of this two-part podcast, Bob Gilmore asks Simon about how being a Northern Irish composer affects his composition, what projects he has coming up, his interest in microtones, and Middle Eastern music.
Some of the, at least the titles of your pieces refer to certain aspects of, shall we say, the Northern Irish experience. And although this is a very difficult area to talk about, I mean, as a Northern Irish composer, which is one of a relatively rare breed, is it your sense that there is a sort of particular sensibility that you could say is the North of Ireland that somehow has any meaning for you when you're making music, or is that sort of 19th century nonsense?
I don't feel any awareness of being Northern Irish as a composer, in the same way that I don't feel any awareness of being Irish as a composer or British as a composer. I feel actually so disinterested in national identity that it's hard to describe. It's almost an atheism towards nationalism of any kind. However, one's environment is, for me, an important thing. It's not so much that it's in County Down, but just simply that my experience of certain places has created a certain, you could call it a memory or a state of consciousness. So I have used place names from other parts of the world in pieces as well. Mary Dullea has recently recorded a piece of mine called Batu, which is named after famous caves in Kuala Lumpur. And I'm sure there's another piece which is named after a location in Cyprus. And I'm sure there are others I can't recall at the moment. So I have an interest in location, my memory of a location, in fact, that's what's important. So I happen to live in County Down, so, and I happen to have an intimate familiarity with it, and that's the reason for the place names primarily.
Tell us about some of the projects you'd like to take on board in the future. I mean, leaving aside the work that you're composing at the minute, but what are your sort of ambitions for the immediate future of composition?
I have to find my own solutions for the integration of microtones in instrumental writing. That's very important, I think, and that will take a long time. The other thing is whether or not my music would be suited to writing for instruments and electronics at the same time. I expect to continue writing for both alone instruments pieces and electroacoustic pieces. I have a few ideas for pieces which combine the two, but when I listen to these pieces, I'm frequently not convinced. So there's a big, big challenge there. And the other one, which interests me immensely, is the concept of a large piece. I don't mean large forces, but I'm referring more to long scale duration.
And longer than 45 minutes.
Longer than 45 minutes. That piece is an experiment in duration, and then there will be I think 45 minutes is a good length for a moment. It's only the length of a soap opera episode, after all. But for instance, suppose you put three such pieces together, and you've got a lot of music. So I have in my mind, I suppose it might be inspired by the fact that I'm preparing to play Messiaen's Vanguard, which is slightly over 2 hours. I'm really interested in what happens to the mind during that process of listening, and I probably will end up doing a piece of a similar size for piano, and that's a few years down the road, but I've already got ideas about where we'll take that. On the contrary, I'm doing a piece for a contrabass clarinet, and that is in 19 movements, but the movements are between 10 seconds and a tenth of a second long, so it's a large scale work. It takes only 4 minutes to perform.
Coming back to the question about, I mean, I'm very interested in your, you're interested in microtones. When did you begin to sort of sense that? I mean, does it come out of the frustration of being a pianist and just wishing that there was something in between the E and the F, or where does it spring from?
You might think that it stems from discovering spectralism, or perhaps from discovering the untempered space available in electroacoustic music. But if I cast my mind back, I think it actually began earlier than that with listening to Middle Eastern music.
Oh yeah,
and that was really the start of it for me. I think around 1996. Yes, it was about then. I discovered that one of my favorite musicians in the world is a nun from the Lebanon called Sister Marie Kairouz. And she doesn't sing quarter tones as such, but the scales she uses are completely untempered, and they do use what sound like almost quarter tones or things like that for us. And the music is very expressive and very powerful, and it seems to resonate through the body in a slightly different way. And I became transfixed by the potential of intervals beyond the semitone, and their power. So that was the start, and I think one of my interests in music is its effect on the mind and what it can do. In another favorite composer of mine is Sarabji, and in his piece Gulistan, towards the end, there's a passage which, after something like 26 minutes or 28 minutes of absolute unbelievable rhythmic complexity, you then have two or three minutes of unbelievably simple music on one line, and you get hypnotized by this. You start to drift slightly, and then after a couple of minutes of this simplicity, very suddenly it changes into complexity again and goes back to the texture that it maintained through most of the piece. And I find that in listening to that, my mind starts to drift slightly, and I suddenly thought, how can I create that effect? So that's partly my interest in larger durations and in quarter tones. It's about the manipulation of the mind and trying to take it into places it normally doesn't go.
In this little autobiographical note you wrote a little while ago, you talk about your interest in the exultant music.
Yeah.
And you give Sarabji and Messiaen and also Boulez as examples of that kind
yes.
of thing. Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, I think that, again, I suppose it explains my interest in, say, blackbirds as well. There's a sort of extrovert, or maybe not extrovert, but explosive quality in the music that I like. And when you say explosive, it's not like a human explosion, it's more of a cosmic explosion, and there's something ebullient about it. And I suppose it's bound up with my the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, my pieces are generally quite virtuosic. There's a certain joy in that, and a pleasure in it. So this sort of speed and joy is what makes it worthwhile listening to music. some sort of grey mulch, to me is uninteresting, but something which has got that sort of explosive quality, I do enjoy very much. So people might be surprised if I describe Boulez as exultant, but that's generally because they looked at his music at university and don't know everything he's done since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And his piece from the 90s, Sur en Cisse, is as happy a piece as you could want to hear.
So would you go along with Messiaen's sense then that music for him was a sort of search for something transcendent, you know, to sort of, in a way, surpass the human condition? I mean, that was partly his love of birdsong, that it was something that was free and not tied to human beings. Is that a bit also your sense on them? Again, this is talking at a very pretentious level, maybe. But.
Well, yes, of course, the idea of transcendence is usually versed in voiced in a usually a religious way, and it has all sorts of mystical connotations. But in actual fact, a study was done recently where some scientists, I can't remember if they administered a drug or some electrodes to the brain, but they were able to stimulate an oceanic effect in the study person, and therefore it's nothing supernatural, it's actually a physical experience. And people talk about mind-bending experiences. Again, that's not really of interest to me, and in the same way that Steve Reich denied that his music was trance-like, I would also argue that there's nothing supernatural or countercultural about it. It's simply that the potential of music is frequently untapped, and when you do tap it, it gives experiences which are unlike anything you would achieve through more mainstream media.
Tremendous.
Contemporary Music Centre podcast series. For more information, audio and video, go to www.cmc.ie.